to Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey, and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing, 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations, 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation, and 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Piercing the Veil. Today is July 31st, 2016. I've got Corey back with me. My main man, co-host, is back from Italy, so I'm not flying solo this week. Last week, we did a solo show with a couple call-ins regarding trust and assets and property protection. And this week, we're going to be talking about the nature of consciousness, dreaming, certain dream states and awake states and sleep states, so on and so forth. But first of all, I'd like to welcome Corey back. Corey, how are you doing, man? How was your trip?
Excellent, man. Excellent. Had a great time. A lot of la dolce far niente, they say. A lot of doing nothing, which is hard for me to do. So, so it was great. I'm in the city now. I'm in New York halfway through. I'll be driving back to Arizona. So I have more adventure ahead of me. But I'm feeling good, man.
Well, excellent. We're glad you're back safe and sound. Can you tell us a little bit about the landscape over there? Is it everything that you see in the pictures?
Yeah, well, I was in two places on the coast, about an hour north of Rome, kind of little port town. Fantastic, nice boating, excellent coastline, beautiful water. And then we're up in Tuscany, in the Chianti region, a little more inland, up further north towards Florence, which was, you know, beautiful as well. You know, just all that you see in the pictures and the olive groves and grapevines, and in a lot of ways, things haven't changed that much in a while. So, fantastic.
Sounds like a dream. Oh, hey, guess what? That's our topic today. Yeah, and we're also going to be, Corey, we'll be taking calls this show. So if anybody wants to call in, any questions or comments, concerns, they can go ahead and do so. And you know, would you be so kind as to give us or give a shout out to our call-in number?
Yes, I believe that number is 888-429-5471. That's the number for Station 2, which we are on right now.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, and if you want to just call in and make a comment or a question, just tell them your name. We'll get to you as soon as possible. But right now, we're going to get right into it, and let's talk a little bit about dreaming. Corey, I know we've touched on a little bit about consciousness in our past shows. The state that you're in currently, obviously, is awake, as well as me. We're both awake here. But it is possible to slip into other states, not just hypnosis, while the body and the mind are functioning, okay? And whether that's visualization or daydreaming, there are certain states that people can access and have access throughout their lives, maybe without realizing it fully what it is. You know, another one of those would be deja vu, right? Mm-hmm. Because the deja vu thing is you're really just tapping into another reality of something that you're doing in another reality. Does that make sense? And then the daydreaming, we'll get to that later when we talk about states of consciousness, but it's a really powerful tool. It's not just some lackadaisical or do nothing, right, where you do absolutely nothing and you're just having this little experience. It's something that can be used as a powerful creative tool, okay? And I would say that it's very easy to draw the line between visualization and daydreaming, and we'll talk about that later. But what's your experience of dreaming? We'll start with that. I've said in past shows, I typically don't remember my dreams. I know it happens, and I know I do stuff that's important, but I don't remember them for whatever reason. On the whole, what's your experience with that? Corey, you still there? Oh, I guess we lost Corey.
Nope, I'm here. Oh, there I'm you here. Are. Sorry about that.
Yes. Hey, no problem.
Yeah.
Happens at the show, man. Still.
No, that was, I had muted out for a second and thought I came back in. That was on me.
No worries.
Dreaming. Yeah, I mean, you ask some people and they say, well, I don't dream. My understanding is that we all dream every time we sleep, pretty much. We're always going to hit REM sleep at some point. And it's a matter of whether we actually recall them or not, or whether we're aware that we had been dreaming at some point. My experience with it, I mean, on this trip over in Italy, for example, I was dreaming a lot, or I was aware of dreaming a great deal and remembering stuff more frequently than I do regularly. And I suspect that, you know, it could have been any number of things, just being in a different energetic field.
Geolocation changing on you.
Geolocation. I was also I was on a semi-fast before I left, pretty much a juice fast. And, of course, you can't fast in Italy. So I was eating a lot of good food and, you know, rich by comparison to a juice fast. So, you know, they say, which I've experienced, you know, sometimes if you eat late or if, you know, dietary change suddenly, or, that can stimulate the dreaming as well. Generally, yeah, the daydreaming, I hear you on that. There's something to be said about using that creatively and any, you know, and REM dreaming and other forms of dreaming. Sometimes I've been able to really interact with my dreams. You got to really be in control of it to the point where it doesn't even feel like a dream. You know, all different things. I've had, how do you call them? Premonition dreams, right? Some dreams are, you know, maybe you need some decoding. They don't really make sense. It's just a bunch of random stuff.
But other things are
data stream, right? Data stream, and maybe it's, you know, it's the language that the unconscious is speaking, and that if we try to analyze it consciously, it doesn't often make sense. I guess that's why there were dream interpreters throughout the ages.
Shamans, you want to kick it back to one of our previous episodes.
Right. And but I've had some things that were very, you know, dreams that were clearly premonitions or ended up being premonitions, you know, which gave me an incredible deja vu once the thing was actually happening in wake time. It's like, oh wait, I've been here before. So
it's interesting that you bring that up. I've heard a lot of people tell me, you know, the prophetic dream thing where it actually comes up in real life in that reality that you're experiencing, and then all of a sudden you get the deja vu feeling on top of it. And I think that's just an alignment of energies. You're given a forewarning, not a warning, but a forenotice of, hey, this is a possible huge shift that will allow you to jump into this timeline or whatever this concept is that you're dreaming about. And then it appears in your life because you accepted and utilized and ingrained that dream or that data stream into your consciousness and accepted it without ego as this is a possibility. And then all the little machinations of what the subconscious does, is this good for me? What am I really doing with my life? Does it fall into this picture? That takes place over the course of time, however long that is for people. And then the dream that you had happens in reality. Mm-hmm. And that will snap you into the deja vu is because it's two realities with you and each one that's very similar but different, and they're merging and aligning. It snaps you right into the other one, wherein that dream comes true. All right, and that's my theory, at least. It looks like we already have a caller on the line. This is Amy. Amy, welcome. How can we help you?
Hey, Jordan.
Hey. Do you have a question or a comment on lucid dreaming, states of awareness, or any type of random issue? Because we always take random calls throughout the show. What can we help you with?
I have a question specifically about dreaming and lucid dreaming. My question is, how could we intensify our dreams, or more likely remember them when we wake up, or be more conscious in our dreaming?
Okay. The easy answer is it's all individual and it applies differently to everybody. And that's sort of a cop-out, so I'll explain in detail. some general things that I think a lot of people could start using would be removing electronics from their room completely where they sleep, or at least moving them or unplugging them at the very least. A lot of people will turn the electronics off, the HDTV and Wi-Fi and all that. They'll turn them off, but they leave them plugged in. There's a residual signal that's still in there. So not only are you draining and wasting electricity, but also there's an RF and some other fields that are constantly being emitted through that device. And say, for example, you're charging your phone every night and it's right next to your head when you go to sleep. Well, that's something that's happening to you. It's going to affect the natural brain chemistry, your brain states, and your dreaming, and you could have some interference with your natural abilities. Now, once all that stuff is removed and everybody's on a level playing field, then the individuality comes into play. Okay, well, this person, like Corey mentioned, this person might access their dreams better if they eat late before bed and use it as a tool instead of a warning from your mother. Don't eat too late. You'll have bad dreams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And basically from there, there's other things you can do besides just diet. You can also change your practices before you go to sleep. So you can talk to yourself, talk to your DNA. You can sort of intend for yourself to remember whatever dreams or whatever you're doing when you leave. And I want to make a quick point because I don't think we've touched on it yet. For our listeners, lucid dreaming, by definition, is a dream which you have control. A dream which you have control over, and you're actually interacting directly, you're fully conscious. I would liken it to a DMT trip, because when you're taking DMT, you're able to fully integrate what's happening, right? You're able to interact with different entities and concepts and environments, and just as if you were fully awake. And yeah. I believe that the lucid dreaming is a skill that allows you to basically access those higher states of dimensions and do all sorts of stuff there. Now, to answer your question, for each individual person, they've got to identify and try a whole range of different techniques with the eating and the removing the electronics first, but they've got to identify how do they best talk to their body, to their DNA, to their mind, to their soul, you know, all of these different types of things that are comprise who they are, and actually look at yourself and speak to yourself, not in a schizophrenic or crazy way, but speak to yourself and intend, I would like to have this as a learned ability. I want to use this every night, so I'd like to remember my dreams and have more control over them and intensify the experiences and intensify the downloads and the learning and the, you know, conceptualization. Because here's the thing that most people miss. If you can lucid dream already, you're way ahead of the pack as far as manifesting your reality, because everything outside of the body manifests instantly. And so what you can do is, while you're lucid dreaming, you can imagine that a guitar pops into your hands and start playing it and learn how to play the guitar. And you might not know what your fingers are doing or what chords they're on, but I guarantee you, if you do that lucid dreaming for even a couple nights, and then you go into your reality when you're awake and you pick up a guitar, you will have excess skills that you did not train for or have in your muscle memory while you're awake. I guarantee you that. It's been proven over and over and over that that's possible. You can learn skills while lucid dreaming that will instantly manifest in your life when you awake. That right there is the most powerful thing. So when you say, how do we intensify, be very careful, first of all, what you're looking to intensify, and then number two, learn how to apply that in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I definitely feel like that's what I'm doing when I'm dreaming consciously. I feel like I'm perfecting my energy body. Like when I'm outside of the body, I'm training almost. So when I leave the plane or whatever, it's easier for me each time.
Well, what you're really doing is you're training for your impending death, which nobody seems to want to acknowledge. Most people, I should say, don't want to acknowledge in the Western Hemisphere. Yeah, you're going to die. It's going to happen. I'm going to die, right? At some point, at the very end of this road, whenever I decide to go, I'll go. But am I going to be prepared for it? And it sounds like you're learning firsthand and mastering the skills that you're going to need to make a smooth and easy transition without getting trapped into all the software sold programs and the etheric machinery. You know, Johnny Delirious, I don't know if you listen to him, but Johnny Delirious talks about the Beast, which is an etheric satellite system that controls all sorts of different types of things. My theory is that it also controls, using power sucked from the rotation of the planets, which is astrology, but using that power, harnessing it somehow, I believe that it's constantly kicking souls back into this planet in predetermined bodies and predetermined life structures and parts of the world and who your parents are and so on and so forth. And yes, I think there's a certain amount of self-determination and contracting between certain souls that are coming on this planet, but for the most part, it's locked down. It's like a prison. So for you to be doing these things every single night, or for the most part, you know, throughout your life while you're sleeping, I commend you, and I think that's the best thing you could be doing besides learning your psychic abilities. So I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that you're doing something that's very important, and you know, thank you for contributing to the show on this topic. So,
Amy, let me ask you a question. Do you do you record your dreams? Like a lot of people, I mean, in dream work, it's almost cliche. Put a notebook by your bed, right? So when you wake up, as soon as you wake up, you can jot down your dreams. That's been very effective for me. Do you do stuff like that? Do you have aids that you use?
Yeah, I do. And another one of my aids is just talking about them too. I have a really open partner that's willing to hear about my travels outside of the body. So talking about it with someone else that's open to it is one of my avenues. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I like the intention thing works for me. You know, I would really like to get into my dreams tonight.
Yes.
I really want to remember them. And give me something I can work with, something that I can use. Mm-hmm. So it's very powerful intention.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, the more you practice, the better you're going to get at that skill. And at a certain point, you could just, you know, you could be doing it what people call remote viewing. But instead of remote viewing on this plane, you could just pop out of your body real quick. You might appear to close your eyes and go to sleep or be unconscious, but when you come back in, you'll have access to whatever you went and found or any new skills. And that's what the monks are doing, Corey. And when we get to the states of consciousness, we'll talk about that a little bit more. I think you've actually touched on this specifically in a past show on how they're constantly remaining awake 24 hours a day while resting their body as well. So, Amy, thank you very much. Is there anything else or any other questions you had or any other comments? I mean, that was fantastic. You want to wrap it up with anything or...
Yeah, I actually had another question about protection outside of the body. Like you said about Johnny Delirious, the Beast, I feel like things really do come into our dreams and kind of mess with us or just to see how we operate and kind of get into our consciousness. And I was wondering what your thoughts were about ways to prevent that or help against that.
Yeah, absolutely. Being okay with whatever could happen inside yourself. And I know that sounds crazy as an answer, but being okay with yourself and strong enough to know that you cannot be destroyed, your soul energy can never be changed without your permission, it can't be locked away, trapped, hurt, damaged, killed, can't happen. Can't do it. So knowing that first and foremost, that the human soul is pretty much infinitely more powerful than any other entity or most entities. There are a few things that you do not want to interact or engage with, and it's not a judgment call that you're going to have to make. I guarantee you that if you ever, ever, while in the body or out of the body, run into one of these things, go the other way, get into a different plane of existence, raise your vibration a little bit, don't succumb to fear, because then that traps you. It's sort of like a tractor beam, and it's like a targeting lock for that entity. But acknowledge it for what it is. It's amassed a great amount of power, and it's using it for whatever it's doing, but you don't want to be a part of that, and then just make that intention, like separate or cut the cord, and you're gone. Now, with any other type of entity, you can basically just be okay with yourself and know the knowing that they can't touch you or harm you, and that instantly puts out a field around you without you even having to visualize it. A lot of people say, visualize a glowing golden field of light and the rays of God and the blah, 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 and the blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. If that works for you, do it. But also know that it's you that's doing it, and the source of God is coming through you to protect yourself. It's not coming from outside you like some magical angel rushing to your aid, right? You might have some spirit family or somebody that comes in and stands around you when stuff like that comes by. But first and foremost, you have the power to do it yourself. So protecting yourself starts with yourself and being okay with the fact that you can never be destroyed, especially when you're out of the body. It gets a little more hairy when you're experiencing something in the physical body, like being dragged out of your bed and having a red handprint on your arm, speaking from personal experience. That's probably one of the only times I've ever been touched or messed with in my life, and I was able to just intend for that not to happen. And now I feel entities, I see them, I notice them, I perceive them all the time in the back of my car while I'm driving, just looking at me, right? There's a downside to opening your consciousness, or what people would call a downside, the ones that want to hide in their shells. But if you can totally embrace it and just be like, hey, what's up, dude? As long as you abide by the agreement that you don't touch me or interfere with my life in any way energetically, you can sit there as long as you want. And then just go about your day. It's the same thing out of the body. Except if you get that feeling, like I mentioned earlier. And if that's the case, you need to call on your people, who, you know, call on God or whatever, but know and channel it through yourself and outside of your body. I wouldn't recommend engaging or sending a ray of light or trying to shoo them away or anything. Just leave the area if it's that serious. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And it comes down to intention once again.
That's right.
You know, I intend to, you know, operate safely and without being menaced or harmed in any way. Be fearless.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, and I would be extremely interested to see your results, or actually, let me ask you this, Amy, before we move on to the states of consciousness. Have you ever looked behind you while you're out of the body, or is it a constant, like, movie where you're just seeing through your eyes, you're seeing things, but you never... Have you ever turned around 180 degrees while you're out of the body?
You can go first, Corey.
Huh.
Has anybody ever turned around?
I can't recall consciously having done so. I have pulled away from that looking through my eyes, right? Sort of jumped outside of that normal viewing through my screen. I can't say I've actually turned around and looked behind me.
Here's the thing. It's all layers. So everything in the physical represents something that's possible outside the physical. So it's very logical to say that in the same way that you can be jarred from your body and die by the soul being separated from the body, or knocked out, unconscious, and your soul pops out, or you experience some sort of trauma and your soul pops out and you see yourself, you can see yourself floating in astral planes or out of the body, which is fucking the most disoriented thing I've ever experienced in my life. I don't have a lot of lucid dreams, but the one I did, I actually popped out of my body, out of my body. It's the craziest shit ever, okay? But I believe that even when people are not looking through their eyes in the lucid dreaming state or, you know, out of the body, that they are not looking at their source. That's what I mean by turning around. And I think Drunvala Melchizedek, you guys can try to attempt a hazard at his last name spelling, but a Google search will pull up Drunvala. Some of his books describe very clearly that when they describe these psychic children in China, right? And they were capable of doing the things that I told Amy about, where they could just lucid dream on command while they're awake. They could boop, and they're out, right? And then boop, they're back. They were saying that if you turn around, you can see the source of your soul, the connection all the way back up to God, to the whatever you want to call it, right? And you can see the energy. You can just understand what you really are. And by doing so, it totally wipes out. It's sort of like the sun gazing thing we said, that if you sun gaze for 9 minutes, you remove all your mental doubts, your fears, your any types of tics, or do you know what I mean? Like mental faults or problems or anything, right? Fear of death, fear of harm, fear of anything is all gone. So if you can actually do this next time, I would recommend anybody out there who's listening that has lucid control, try to turn around or intend that you're able to turn around, and you'll find something magnificent.
Look into source. that reminds me very much of the Carlos Castaneda stuff with the assemblage point, how he describes the assemblage point.
That's right.
And so, all this, but these filaments coming into the body at a particular point in your auric field. And I can definitely see looking back out through that. Or from what I recall from some of the readings is that we are experiencing, or we're a part of the source, and that there's a construct, almost like an umbilical cord, you know, like we're like our energy bodies and subsequently our physical bodies are like being in utero. And that the way that Castaneda and the Yaqui Indians in Sonora and Arizona and Mexico, the way that they describe it, our energy bodies and our souls are similarly oriented as if we were connected by an umbilical cord.
Yeah, just so identifying the source thread is basically the conclusion of what I was saying, and then I conveniently got kicked off there. And I believe did we lose Amy as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, Amy, if you're still listening, thank you so much. That was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful perspective. We're very glad that you have the abilities that you do. Please continue practicing those and, you know, maybe put into practice some of the suggestions that we had given you. Okay, well, you know, let's just move on here. It's 5:30. Let's jump into states of consciousness. Okay. I just want to run down a few that I have clarified and defined for myself. You might not find this in a scientific journal, or you may, some of these. This is what I understand to be of different states of consciousness. You have the awake state, which is what we're in now, hopefully. Or this whole thing could be a dream. You never know. But as I'm pinching myself and feeling it right now on the radio, I would presume that I'm awake, okay? So my motor is running. Right, all the lights are on, motor's running at somebody's home. Okay, I can get access to the higher dimensions through intuition, etheric guidance, visions, a knowing, data streams, downloads, a very, very tiny item that comes across my path, like a blue cup for some reason, or some sort of like very innocuous thing that you would never pay attention to. That item in the reality that you're in an awake state in could trigger a download that was provided to you in a dream state, right? It's like an unlocking. So in the awake state, you still have access to information, but I do not believe that you can really, without high levels of meditation or learning the instant inducement, I don't think that you can really jump right into the astral planes or the higher planes for the most part without a lot of
I think we're, yeah, I yeah. think we're kind of generally bound from it. Would probably get pretty disorienting, right, if that were easily accessible for
well you use the right word, thank you for that, Corey. It's called bound, and I believe that the chakra system has locks on it, right, and your chakras have locks on it that are organic and natural that keep you safe and from being disassociated or your personality lost between all the different parts of you that you're experiencing in an infinite number of realities. So yes, I believe that's a good thing. Yes. Yeah. But then you've got the beast locks and the alien implants and the etheric implants and all sorts of different types of things that are locked onto every soul that comes into this region on this planet under control. And that is really what keeps you from modifying your locks or changing the locks, right? What if you want to give somebody else a key or have a key to access higher dimensions and still stay in the physical body safely? Well, then by practicing your practices, your chakras would morph and develop naturally and the locking mechanisms would change to such a degree that you're able to access this realm now. Or say, for example, you found a tool like rhabdomancy where the Egyptians and even the Vatican Church were using staffs made of zinc and copper. Zinc down the middle with a little bit of crushed up quartz inside and copper on the outside. And what they would do is they would forge those and melt them together. And then they would have a staff that's constantly producing energy. And depending on where they held the staff, they could access different dream states. Mm. When I found out about this, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Why is this not? Like, you can literally make one of these things with a homemade, you know, couple set of tools and a forge, right? You can make a forge out of a concrete pillar that you get from Home Depot, like a foundation pillar. It's not hard, right? Okay, so with these simple tools, you can make a device or a tool that will allow you to instantly go into these different states. And so I believe that, yes, with highly specialized training or highly specialized tools, you can access these and change the lock dimension or the lock structure on your chakras, which will allow you to flow. And, you know, Carlos Castaneda talks about stretching your assemblage point. I think that's exactly what's happening to the chakras when he's doing that. You know what I mean? So that's the awake state. Before I get into the daydream, so the other states are this. I'll run down them real quick, but we have another caller, and hopefully we could stay on the line long enough to answer their questions. But the other states, daydream, hypnosis, completely unconscious, what we call it. That guy's out, right? Unconscious. REM, which most of us are familiar with, rapid eye movement. And then there's one that I don't think has ever been defined by any one person, multi-view. Multi-viewing is a very strange thing because you can naturally do it with the levels of DMT in your body, or you can do it with psychedelics, okay? So we described what the awake state is. We'll recap that real quick. Motor is running, lights are on, you can get little trickles of downloads and information here and there. A little item in the in your reality in the physical world might kick into play or sort of download or instigate the download of a data stream that was given to you in another state of consciousness, that type of shit, right? In the awake state, you are subject to the subconscious programming that you've had and the conditionings that you're holding on to, whether that's from a previous life or this life. So just think about that real quick. Corey, with no further ado, we'll go ahead and welcome our next guest on, or excuse me, our next caller. And I believe his name's Riley. Riley, welcome. How can we help you?
Hi, how's it going?
Excellent. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just curious about what you guys were talking about.
We're speaking into, basically we talked about dreams, and now we're getting to states of consciousness at this point. And we had another caller that spoke into lucid dreaming and her abilities that she's using. Pretty much anything that you want to talk about. We do have certain topics during the show, but anybody who feels like they want to call, whether they've been listening or not, you're free to ask anything you want. We'll do the best we can to answer. That's how we roll.
Yeah, so, I was really interested in lucid dreaming we all were talking about, and I've been able to, enter that state a couple times. Do you have any recommendations or like advice on how to effectively enter that state? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, not at all. There's a little lag here. It's probably our fault. Yes, it's a good question. We did answer that in the beginning of the show, and we'll just do a quick rundown. Mostly, I would say it's an environmental factor of removing the electronics from the room that you sleep, that you constantly go to sleep in. So make sure there's no electronics near your head, no Wi-Fi or RF signals interfering with the natural state of your electromagnetics or biofield, if you want to call it that. And then after that, the time that you go to sleep is real important. There's certain times during the day that your chi levels, or what they would call chi, are extremely, extremely high, and you have access to enormous amounts of energy. And 3 o'clock in the morning is one of those. 11 o'clock p.m. Is one of those. And we're talking about a typical schedule. And then also, the other thing is your diet. So some people may want to abstain from eating before bed. Some people may want to encourage themselves to eat before bed. It just kind of falls down to an individual scale. So you said you've experienced it. Why don't you, if you will, just kind of describe some of your experiences, and we can go from there.
Yeah, sure. The one that stands the most, out to me is one where, I had a dream that I could fly, basically, and I could control. And before I could do it, I knew that I was dreaming. But I somehow, usually when I know that I'm dreaming, I wake up. But for some reason, I didn't wake up this time.
Okay.
And, I could control this power that I had. And, I was kind of surprised that I was still able to remain asleep. while still being able to, you know that I'm dreaming. I thought, I don't know. And I had a question about the electronics. With the electronics being beside you, does that basically just interfere with your, like, because I know they produce wavelengths, and is that a disruption?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's constant. It's happening to you every day. Yeah. I would say this just right off the bat, what you mentioned is typically you come right back to your body and wake up when you realize that you're dreaming. Do you think that's some sort of failsafe that your soul has instigated for yourself, or is that something that maybe you're not ready for that type of information, or perhaps there's somebody interfering that you need to learn how to get around?
Just by looking
at yourself, what do you feel on that? Which one is happening?
I feel when I understand that I'm dreaming, or that I'm asleep, that it's almost like overwhelming, and it might produce, you know, like surprise or something to where it, you know, makes me wake up. Okay. And I think it's that overwhelming feeling that, you have that much power, you know, right. In that one moment you realize that you have that much power to control all these different things. And I think that's what's startling and what makes me initially, you know, wake up.
Well, I think it's interesting as well that you said something about flying. I don't know if you caught the earlier part of the show, but we actually said that if you make something appear in your dream or utilize a skill in your dream and you practice with it, it will instantly make you that much better in real life. So if you can, and again, something, this is the thing, on a scale of something that you're probably able to do, which is play guitar or play the piano or learn a new language or something, that fits with your reality, right? You're not working against physics or working against energetics in order to accomplish that in the real world. Flying, on the other hand, while it has been done, flying nuns, levitating monks, so on and so forth, I can just keep going on with examples, but while it has been done, it takes a certain amount of catharsis or a certain amount of inertia built up or skill practiced over time, if you will. So what I'm saying is, I would be very, very interested to see if you continue to try to lucid dream, if you'll start trying to fly and learn the mechanics of how you're doing it. It's got to have something to do with electromagnetics and energy repelling, because if you produce a gravity field around your body, which is very easy to produce with certain types of things, if you produce a gravity field around your body, then you're rejecting or rebutting against whatever is already there, and you can lift yourself up. So I would be interested. Yeah, I think that you would actually start to levitate a little bit if you practice this constantly over the course of 6-7 months, maybe.
I forgot to mention that in my dream, the more I focused, the higher I would go, and so I felt that was important to mention because I think it definitely had to do with. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
You're getting real-time feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It seems like, okay, if you were dreaming you were flying, and then you said, okay, I'm dreaming, I know I'm dreaming, I didn't snap out of it and wake up. And
so
you concentrated even more, and then you flew higher. That's almost like your subconscious or something was teaching you about your own dreaming abilities and what happens and what you're capable of doing in it. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's very cool. So
excellent.
It's like a direct response.
It was a very unique experience.
Nice.
Okay. Have we answered your questions for the most part? Is there anything else that you have or any details that we missed?
No, I mean, you've been really helpful. It's good talking to you guys. Thanks for your time.
Excellent. It's wonderful to hear that comment, and keep flying around, man. See what you can do, and contact us again and let us know how it goes after a few months.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep flying.
Thanks, guys.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good day. All right, Corey. So into daydreaming now. So we described the awake state, and again, I'll run down the other states because we're running out of time. We just really need more than an hour. So the daydream is sort of like I would call it harmonics. We're a bunch of different states of awareness are coalescing, and you're able to access them, but on a very controlled, small, scaled back level, if you will. So while the awake state controls the show, it's still running the shots. And even during a daydream, if you're about to walk off a ledge, you stop yourself, or somebody's about to punch you, or if you're about to run into a door, even during a daydream, you know to avoid it, right? It's the same thing as if, let's say, for example, and this could go to hypnosis, but when you drive from your house to your work and you've done it 1,000 or 100,000 times, and at one point you get to your work without realizing how you got there, you don't
remember. Right, you're daydreaming half the time anyway.
That's right.
Actually, I kind of find the daydreaming even kind of the most compelling.
It's extremely powerful.
Because you are most definitely in wake mode.
That's right.
Typically, yeah, like you said, you could be driving. You could be doing an activity, you know. You're not asleep, as it were. You're not lying down in your bed or lying down on the floor asleep. And then, you know, and then the REMs kick in. I find it even more compelling, the daydream, because that gets into what you were saying about the that almost moves into the multi-view.
Yes.
Right? Where you're kind of doing two things at once, or you're in two places at once.
That's right. That's a little creepy, man, how it's possible for somebody with no skills and no training to multi-view. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I agree with you totally that it's really important to realize that daydreaming is an access to that creative ability that we're talking about. And, you know, you don't need to learn guitar, or you don't need to fly if it's not important to you. If what's important to you is making money, well, you know, good for you. Make some money in your dream. You know what I mean? Like, say certain phrases that will allow you to sell or market your business better. And then when you get into the body, it'll just download and pop into your brain, or you'll have an idea, or you'll do something. So daydreaming is powerful because you can tap into that. Now let's talk about hypnosis. A lot of people have a misguided view on that. Hypnosis is like a more intense or more committed version of daydreaming, if you will, where the awake state has fallen behind and you're past the 50-50 point where you're pretty much 80% in the hypnosis state and maybe 20% awake. And some people can get you real deep down to like the 10% mark. But that's where you can, it's sort of like a programmer access. If you need to rewrite your code, if you need to deal with multiple layers of your body, like etheric, emotional body, mental body, astral body, so on and so forth, you can program all of those in one terminal, if you will, which is the hypnosis, okay? And then we'll jump down to the unconscious, which I believe everybody needs to be unconscious. Not while they're awake and not in their life with what they're doing, but I believe as far as resting and being totally out, at peace, no vibration, just totally out, which is the state that I remember awaking from mostly. When I go to sleep, I do so much thinking and conceptualization and tapping into different realities and manifestation and everything throughout my day just as a learned skill that I believe that when I do my activities outside the body, they're extremely important. They're top secret, even for me to be able to understand them or release the information into the human consciousness. I don't want that information getting out where it can be twisted yet until they're ready for it. That's what I feel. But even when I'm doing that, the only thing that I remember is unconsciousness for the most part. And so while I know that I'm in a dream state, right, or REM, if you will, typically I'm unconsciously REMing. Does that make sense, Corey?
Yeah, definitely.
So the unconscious...
I agree. The unconscious, a lot of times... I'm a fairly mentally busy person, and I'm creating imagery and, you know, pulling things together and moving in and out of places all the time anyway. So yeah, I really like the unconscious place. I go into that deep sleep, you know,
yes,
where it's like sometimes you wake up and that's the no, I didn't have any dreams last night.
Let me paint it like this, because I think a lot of our viewers will understand if we say it like this, and you as well, and myself included. Imagine that, we'll use a car analogy again. Imagine that you're driving down the highways of consciousness. So any state of consciousness, you know, I-5 is awake state, and I-10 is the daydream state, and, you know, there's junctions where you can merge on and get off and twist and turn and all that jazz. Well, after all that driving, you got to get tired at some point. Your eyes are going to get droopy. Understand? So when you're exhausting yourself and expending your energy to the point where you can't recuperate and continue doing so in any other of these states of consciousness, I liken the unconscious state to a rest stop. Hey, buddy, here's a well-lit area for you to just pull over and drop out for a little bit so you don't hurt yourself or others. Make sense? Okay, so that's what I think that is. Corey, what do you? I know you said it's important to you, but how do you feel? Do you feel more rested after awaking from unconsciousness or from dreaming?
I think it's... I have experienced both, and I've heard both. I've heard people describe the REM sleep as being important because there's a recharge that happens in the REM sleep. But I think there's also maybe on a different level, maybe coarser. maybe it's just sleep mode. Maybe it's just, you know, instead of a recharge that you might get from...
That's right.
From dreaming or being in a REM state where you're... you're connecting with on some level. There's also the just downtime, quiet.
I would say this, and you just sparked me to have this concept, so thank you for describing that way. Unconsciousness, I believe, is for the physical body to totally rest up based on physical exertions, right? And it's a sleep mode, just like you said, so that there's still base functions happening in other states of consciousness accessible in the unconscious. It's just that your conscious mind is not going to remember. Now, as far as REM or rapid eye movement, being restful and waking and getting an energy boost, or what did you say, I guess restoration from the REM, I think that's applicable and true. But this is the thing. In REM sleep, you're typically receiving some type of experience, or you're actively what we call dreaming. So whether that's lucid or not, you're receiving downloads, you're engaging new concepts, experiences, and entities that you would not normally find in your physical body. That's just the long and short of it. I believe that in order to process or assimilate those down into the physical level through your chakra system requires energy. Not necessarily the same type of energy boost that you would get from unconscious sleep to restore your body. So I think that the REM is actually an energetic restoration, whereas the unconscious is a physical restoration. Does that make sense?
I can see that. Also, too, when you're in REM, your body is partially engaged in whatever activity you happen to be involved in, right? So
yep.
You see people moving in their sleep, or even animals, right? You see cats and dogs when they're sleeping, they're jumping around based on what they're dreaming.
So
maybe the unconscious... allows for that full body recharge.
Well, this is how I see it. Terminal stations of control, where you can program yourself, your soul, and everything that you've ever done, your memories, your concepts, all of it. Now, you can either access the terminal from this side of the veil. That's why our show is called Piercing the Veil. You can either access it from the physical side of the veil through meditation and DMT and psychedelics and whatnot, and daydreaming and hypnosis, wherein you're able to program all your different types of bodies. Or I believe that REM and full-on dreaming is a direct link to your body to over-program. So basically to program from up above. You're just accessing the same concepts, the same tools, but in a more comprehensive manner from a stronger mainframe, if you will, from a supercomputer rather than a tiny terminal. Now, because of that, because the connection is so strong, your body or your unconscious state or whatever recognizes what's happening and the connection that's being made, and therefore it secretes chemicals that keeps you from standing up and walking and playing out your dreams, walking off the edge of a cliff or something, or, you know, running into something sharp while you're dreaming. So I believe that it's just a matter of how powerful and how comprehensive your access is, but you're accessing either way, the programming to your states, whether it be hypnosis or the REM. One's coming upwards and the other's coming downwards. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. We're kind of running out of time here. We've got a few minutes left. I want to get to multi-view real quick. And Corey, I want to let you speak on that once I describe it, because I know that you've experienced this just like I have. Multi-view consciousness is a enigma. It's a mystery to me. I do not have it figured out. I believe possibly it could be a combination of different types of states of consciousness, or maybe a newly described super state or something, because I describe it mostly as superimposition. What I mean by that is I'm paying attention to you, Corey, right now. I can hear everything. I'm formulating my thoughts and so on and so forth. And I'm looking at the room that I'm in right now. I can see all the things that are here, but I'm also perceiving another reality, another way or another possibility this could have gone down, or realms of possibility of how this could go down and what I could say next. And I think people do this on a limited fashion where it's sort of like dimensional jumping, right? This is the perception aspect to choice. Choice means that you're choosing what dimension of reality you're in constantly on a billionth of a second basis. Now, the multi-state consciousness or the multi-view consciousness, I think, is your perception of these choices available to you, which is why they overlay in front of each other. I don't know if I'm describing this enough, but it's sort of like I can hear what's going on and feel what's going on and feel the temperature of the room, but I'm seeing another realm. I'm seeing a different realm or a different part of the world or so on and so forth. Does that make sense? While I'm actually still in the body, still awake, still conscious, but I can see some other reality and understand and know what it is and sort of have a comprehensive feeling. Does that describe what you've experienced, Corey?
Multi-view. Yeah, I like what you said about the superimposition and experiencing multiple possibilities simultaneously, or multiple parallel dimensions, right? If I walk a little bit faster than I'm currently walking, but otherwise everything is exactly the same, but that's going to be just slightly different. Right, so it's going to create, you know, even I've heard deja vu and kind of described in this way, where it's like I've heard it described as, not that I ascribe to this necessarily, but it's an interesting description, where our perception is recording things twice, almost
partial picture.
Almost simultaneously, so that we think that we've experienced it before, but it's a double recording.
Perception and consciousness, TiVo. You just explained it to me. Thank you. Okay. So recording while you're recording. That might help a lot of people understand what we're talking about. Except you get to watch them both on the same screen.
Right.
That makes sense?
Right.
Instead of like stopping this one and watching this one in a different house or whatever the hell this technology they have. Thank you, Corey. You just wrapped it up. Consciousness TiVo. There you go. All right. So we've got about 30 seconds left. I sort of have just left it up in the air for next week's topic or guest. I'm still trying to negotiate an availability with Damien. Twice we came very close to having his schedule open, and at the last minute something happened. So we're still trying to get him on because I still want to talk about that. It's very important. I think a lot of people are in foreclosure or close to it. We've had a couple different variations on our topics based on his not being able to appear, but it was all insightful and all valuable. And so with that being said, I'll go ahead and do this. Corey, is there anything right now that you would like to discuss next week and we can take callers on, or is there any guests that you have, or otherwise I can pick from my backup list?
Let's go into that some more. Let's go into options for...
Okay.
Let's get into options for our money situations that we might be into, and how to incorporate some of the more esoteric things like we discussed today, intention and visualizing, and maybe tie that together with more practical stuff.
Excellent. So we'll do that. So we'll do some sort of financial, spiritual mix or mashup.
Yeah, let's do that.
Excellent. All right. Well, it is time. Corey, thank you very much, man. I welcome back. I'm glad you had a safe and happy trip. Excellent points as usual. And do you want to go ahead and close this out?
Yeah, man. Be fearless.
Excellent. And look within, obviously.
All right.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Corey, again, and we'll see you next week.